Unbelievably.
What is that, Tara?
So, where do I even begin with this? Kamala Harris campaign, which has no beliefs of any kind, right? There's no positions or beliefs. How do we know that if she's elected, the speech crackdown will get worse?
Mm-hmm.
Matt Taibbi explained this overnight in his Substack. We know because the guy who pressured Mark Zuckerberg to censor real and true information, both on COVID and on the Biden and on the Hunter Biden laptop, was a guy by the name of Rob Flaherty. We know that. Guess where Rob Flaherty's working?
Let me guess. Maybe the Harris campaign?
He's her deputy campaign manager.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I've been talking for the last couple of days about how our side needs to go back and re-report the Zuckerberg letter. It's a bombshell. It's a real moment in history. I mean, honestly, it should be in the textbooks. It's that big of a deal. And the paragraph that matters is actually the one in the middle. It's not the one about COVID. And a lot of folks on our side, I think, just didn't read the whole letter. It's where Zuckerberg writes, the FBI warned us about a potential Russian disinformation operation about the Biden family and Burisma. That's the laptop. Because all of those communications about Burisma are on the laptop. The money transfers, the wire transfers, the emails. It's a veritable cornucopia of crimes. Over 400 crimes, actually, committed by Hunter Biden. That's why the FBI had to hide it. That's why Rob Flaherty helped them hide it. And as a reward, he's now the deputy director of her campaign, which tells you exactly what Rob will be doing when she takes office, censoring you and me and putting people in prison. Maybe with the help of Europe, I don't know.
He can be the censorship czar.
Seriously. Well, Zuckerberg hangs the FBI out to dry here. He says, you know, we were warned about potential Russian disinformation. We censored the laptop story. And then he writes, but it's since been made clear that the reporting was not Russian disinformation, i.e. the FBI lied. They lied to us. He goes on to say, we've had to change our policies because of it. Because of what? The FBI lying. They are disinformation. They are the liars, not the New York Post, who should have won a Pulitzer for that reporting on the Hunter Biden laptop. So why am I bringing this back up? Because we need to bring it back up. The story, the headline is not Biden censors COVID, okay? The American people don't care. They'll look at that. They're kind of not really informed. They go, well, Biden was just trying to protect me. We didn't really understand the pandemic. But people will get, wait, the FBI knew the laptop was real and contained evidence of Hunter's crimes. They also knew the laptop was part of an active criminal money laundering investigation into Hunter Biden. That's why they got a warrant and picked it up, because it was part of a criminal investigation. They picked it up in 2019, Lee. Yet in 2020, they were sending Rob Flaherty and Elvis Chan over to Facebook and Twitter to ask for censorship, claiming it was Russian disinformation. Knew the whole time that was a lie because they had it in their possession. They were covering up for Joe Biden's crimes to help him get elected president. Crimes, by the way, committed in concert with America's worst enemies, Russia, China. At least three felonies on there, bribery, money laundering, and failure to register as a foreign agent, which they, by the way, the same FBI put Paul Manafort, Trump's campaign manager, in prison for. This is a big story. This is a really big deal for Zuckerberg to say, they lied to me. And he ends the letter with, I'm not donating to them anymore. I gave them $300 million last time, not doing it anymore. I'm going to be neutral. Now, we'll see if that ends up being true. This is a cry for help. Why? Because think about this, Lee. The FBI is still inside Facebook. We know that because they put a press release out a few months ago. And what do we just see? Two really weird things. Okay. Zuckerberg claiming that Trump, you know, standing up and pumping his fist in the air was the most badass thing he's ever seen.
On a personal note, it's, you know, it's seeing Donald Trump get up after getting shot in the face and pump his fist in the air with the American flag is one of the most badass things I've ever seen in my life.
So he knows it's real. He knows it happened. He gives an interview where he where he volunteers you this. And yet, in the week after that, we learn Facebook is censoring that very picture. Or was that the FBI inside Facebook? Legitimate question now.
Yep.
Is this a cry for help? To be let out from under the thumb of the same people who are running Kamala's campaign right now or terrorizing Facebook? Questions people would be asking in a normal society. It gets worse. Remember Alexander Vindman?
Oh, yeah. Who could forget?
Himself a liar. He was the whistleblower, went to the CIA, you know, with that Trump phone call that got Trump, in, you know, impeached. And it turns out he lied about the phone call. So he's a lying liar and what the left would call a misinformer. Naturally, he would love to have the other people telling the truth censored. They're all like that. So he has been a Biden administration official. He's not working in the White House right now, but he was. So when someone like that tweets this, this is a threat, okay? Vindman tweeted to Musk a warning about Pavel Durov, you know, the CEO of Telegram, who's now, you know, they've bonded him out in France,
yeah,
but he's not allowed to leave the country. He's a prisoner in France, basically, for allowing free speech. Vindman tweets, while Durov holds French citizenship, is arrested for violating French law, this has broader implications for other social media, including Twitter. There's a growing intolerance for platforming disinfo and malign influence and a growing appetite for accountability, period. Musk should be nervous. So he's warning Elon Musk, we're coming for you when this election is over. As I've said, they will. Vindman then doubles down and said, these MAGA tech bros, free speech absolutist weirdos, you're a weirdo now if you want free speech. That's how weird they are. He says, the EU has been increasingly stringent on enforcing content regulation, social media enforcement is only likely to increase. He's warning Musk again. Maybe he's warning Zuckerberg now. I don't know. But this is where they're coming from. This is a shot over the bow. They're saying, you know what? We got 67 days and then we are on you guys again. So this is going to get very interesting. And this is Kamala Harris rewarding and elevating the person who was putting pressure on Facebook for the White House, particularly on COVID. And remember, when you read what Rob Flaherty wrote in his email, Lee, demanding censorship. Remember, he wasn't demanding some correction of some misinformation that could, you know, cost people's lives. He wanted Tucker Carlson censored for laughing at COVID mask stuff. And he wanted Tomi Lahren censored because she said she didn't want to take the shot. So you're talking about taking down pundits for not going along with your propaganda. And Tomi Lahren had said, you shouldn't lose your job if you don't want to take the shot. They didn't like that. They wanted her silence. So that's not misinformation. That's legitimate editorializing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's rewarded. He's now the deputy director of her campaign, of Kamala Harris's, which shows you who she really is and where she's really going. So I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be fast forwarding through that Kamala Harris interview tonight. I'm going to have it on fast forward looking for the cuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the only interview you're doing, you have to take your emotional support governor with you so he can answer half the questions. So you don't have to talk. It's got to be pre-recorded. And now CNN and the campaign won't answer questions about whether it's going to be cut and edited to make her look good. Is there going to be time to do this in, like, you know, a, you know, nuclear crisis? Hold on. They're going to nuke the West. I need to find a journalist who won't ask hard questions and let me edit the interview. Because I guess at this point, a solo press conference is completely out of the question, right? Well, a serious question. One of the first questions I ask her, will you commit to doing one at any time if you're president or no? We're just not going to have press conferences. No questions for the president. Because you know what that is? That's not a president. That's a queen. Okay, so Jack Smith, federal persecutor Jack Smith, can't call him a prosecutor because he himself is illegal. According to the Constitution, Congress has to appoint you before you can prosecute or persecute another president. He wasn't, which is why the classified documents case was thrown out. So I don't know, we'll call him federal persecutor since he's not a prosecutor. Not a federal one anyway. And should not legally be able to persecute Donald Trump. Anyway, the number one news story in the nation yesterday and into the early morning hours today was the federal persecution of Donald Trump. Headlines all read something like this: Donald Trump indicted, Donald Trump charged, new crimes, new criminal crime, Trump charged, criminal crime, Trump indict. You know, something like that. And folks, this is a show for the low information voter, okay? Who kind of has a vague sense that Trump's, you know, got some criminal convictions or some criminal stuff going on. It makes it look like, wow, there he goes again, getting indicted again. What a criminal that man is. You've got to read down in the stories because they never put in the headlines way down to find out, well, these are the same charges. He's refiling the case. It is a different grand jury, so they are different charges. But in terms of the actual wording, no, they are the same charges. The other charges were thrown out after the Supreme Court ruling that they couldn't do it because they ignored his immunity privilege as president. All presidents have immunity privilege. Okay. So why do this? Why do this? If Trump wins the presidency, he could just pardon himself. Jack Smith's out of luck. Why do this? He's not, all the experts agree, going to be able to try Trump before the election or really even before the inauguration. Why do this? Two reasons. Number one, to get the headline, to pound into the public. Oh, look, Kamala's a prosecutor. Trump's a criminal. So there's that. It's useful for the narrative, but that's not the primary purpose. No, the reason that he did this, besides getting the headlines, trying to point out to everybody that he's a criminal when he's not. By the way, these are the January 6th charges, just so you know. What was the protest about? Mostly peaceful. Didn't even have any fires, like a typical Democrat mostly peaceful protest, you know, where 200 to, how much was it again under Tim Walz? $500 million worth of damage to businesses. Mostly peaceful, though, other than that. $500 million over the 2 days he didn't act. Tim Walz, vice presidential candidate. Anyway, sorry, I was distracted. Yeah, the mostly peaceful January 6th protest, fire-free, no smoke whatsoever. Yeah, nobody died. 30 people died in the summer of love. Mostly peaceful protests on January 6th. What was that about? Because see, if there'd been actual election fraud, it would have been justified, wouldn't it? Yeah. Well, we're now finding evidence of that fraud, particularly in Georgia. Media doesn't want you to know that. Anyway, why is Jack Smith doing this? Well, two reasons. Well, number one is a deadline. There was a deadline to refile the case after the Supreme Court ruling, so they're trying to get it under the wire. Again, why do that? If Trump wins, he can just dismiss the whole thing. I mean, he'll just give himself immunity, basically. I mean, he'll just pardon himself, is what I'm saying. Why do it? Because there's another part of this nobody's talking about on our side. If Trump loses, and I wonder how often he thinks of this, he's a human being. He's going to prison. He's going to prison for the rest of his life. And they want Republicans to see this. They want folks to understand the ramifications of running against them. You can run against us, but we're going to take laws and use them against you in ways that have no legal precedent. In other words, ways you cannot anticipate. You can try to be moral. You can try to be 100% lawful in your dealings. You can consult a lawyer on everything. You can have one follow you around all day. Doesn't matter. We will make something up. We will twist a law in a way you can't possibly anticipate. And we control all the judges. We will get you. How many years is Donald Trump facing right now? Well, we don't know if the classified documents case will be back, but you know, if that one is not resurrected, roughly 600. If he loses this election, he will spend the rest of his life in prison, but it's worse than that. Who will he be a ward of? We don't know where they'll put him. They say put him in Rikers, maybe house arrest. I don't know what they'll do, but it doesn't matter. Who will he be a ward of? Think about this for a minute. It's practically a death sentence. He'll be a ward of the Secret Service. Yeah. The people supposed to protect him from assassins, that Secret Service, he'll be a ward of the Secret Service. How long do you think he's going to make it as a ward of the Secret Service? Would he get me here? I mean, to live. Two? The people obstructing Congress right now, the people who lied to Congress, that's a felony, by the way. The people who are fixing to get a subpoena because they won't turn over the ballistics reports, the people whose leadership lied, not one, but two directors lied to Congress about who actually fired the shot that stopped the shooter, those people. He will be a ward of those people. That is a completely captured agency. Think about that. That is his penalty if he does not win. And they are doing this as a sign. You might be Ron DeSantis. You may be a lawyer yourself. You might be J.D. Vance. You won't escape. You run against us, you will face hundreds of years in prison. That is the message. That is why Jack Smith made sure to get this case refiled under the wire. And I see these idiots on TV, legal commentators. Well, I don't know why they're pursuing this. I mean, they can't have a trial before. Because lawfare. Yeah, I get it. They can't have a trial before the election. That's not the point. The point is for Republicans to see Donald Trump led away in handcuffs, a forever ward of a Secret Service agency that appears to have tried to facilitate his murder. You want to join him, run against us. That's the message. It doesn't end election day. It doesn't end election day. Either way, it doesn't end election day. And they're going to try to pursue him. And can they drag him away as president? Probably not. But they bend and subvert laws, norms, and precedents all the time and then just ignore him. So maybe they can. Maybe they could drag him out of the White House. Don't put anything past these people. They are desperate to hang on to power. They are. All right. Coming up on the show, you got to hear this. Former FBI special agent, one of those rank commentators on Fox, usually pretty milquetoast people. What he said about yesterday's press conference and the way the FBI misrepresented the evidence they have. Mind blown. You're going to want to hear this coming up next. Yeah, so the FBI did a press conference yesterday, probably because they're under threat of subpoena now. They are not turning over, well, basically anything Congress has asked for regarding the Butler shooting. They're also defying a Freedom of Information Act request for all emails, text messages, Outlook calendar entries, and any communication between them, the Secret Service, over the planning of the Butler rally. Wait, the FBI helped plan the Butler rally? Yeah. Well, as we know, the planning phase was not actually planning. It was unsecuring and insecuring and making sure that the usual people who could have secured it were nowhere near that place, and making sure the advance team, which normally goes in and would be the one that would secure the best vantage points for a assassin, that team, which surely would have secured the AGR glass building, weren't working that day. You know, the people who said, gosh darn, shoot, our drone doesn't work, gosh darn it. And when the local police went, hey, use ours. It's specifically designed to spot and, yes, neutralize an assassin. Nah, we don't want that. No, keep it. No, really, you can use it. No, you can't. Just shut up. Okay. Y'all don't want a drone? No, we just want to make sure the only person who has a drone is the assassin. I mean, hey, it's going to be great weather. Total FBI stonewall to the point Congress is now going to subpoenas. Those people. So you can like totally trust them. You can tell they're under a little pressure because of the subpoenas and all. So they had a very fake press conference yesterday. If you've ever seen Andrew Gilliam on Fox News, he's a pretty milquetoast guy. He's a former FBI special agent, one of those that Fox keeps in the barn to comment. And Andrew Gilliam doesn't normally say things like he did this morning. It's kind of shocking, actually. He said he doesn't basically believe the spin the FBI is putting on this. Mainly that, well, you know, Butler rally schmally. It was just, you know, a crime of opportunity. And you know, Thomas Crooks, who had no ideology of any kind, by the way. Yeah, no, he didn't have any. He got lucky and it was, you know, just opportune time for him. Yeah, no pre-planning. Just totally ignore those overseas bank accounts, the two phones and the encryption. Ignore the fact they were in three countries and that we haven't told you who he was communicating with. Yeah, ignore all of that. It was just a crime of opportunity by a person who did a lot of research on the internet. Mm-hmm. Andrew Gilliam, former FBI special agent, is not buying it. Listen to what he said.
He somehow picked the exact fatal funnel and avenue of approach that the Secret Service failed to secure. He didn't shoot from the trees. He didn't go into the crowd that was where behind the fence that was not secured and just shoot from there. He went up to this rooftop that the Secret Service failed to secure. So obviously he was able to gain this knowledge of the Secret Service failure, which always begs to the question of, did he have any other help involved from somebody in the government or somebody who was there that was telling him where law enforcement was or wasn't?
Well, that's weird. Let's hear that last part again.
Always begs to the question of, did he have any other help involved from somebody in the government or somebody who was there that was telling him where law enforcement was or wasn't?
Like the FBI? Who's refusing to turn over anything? Folks, this is not the FBI refusing to turn over information on Thomas Crooks and they're still investigating. No. What they're refusing to turn over is anything about the pre-planning of the event, which we can assume did not involve Thomas Crooks, right? Why wouldn't you turn that over? They're refusing. Weird, right? Especially weird when you consider they're the agency that approved the visa for the Iranian-backed assassin to come to America. You know, the one that was going to kill Trump. Where's that story in the media? They're blacking that one out, aren't they? You can read it all you want on Just the News by John Solomon. By the way, the only guy who got the Russia collusion hoax correct from the beginning when he was a reporter for The Hill. That would be the same agency who put out a big press release back in April. Oh no, help us. There's an assassin who is coming from Iran to kill Trump and his inner circle. We are looking for him. Have you seen this guy? We don't know where he is. Turns out that was a massive lie back in April. They did know where he was because they brought him here. They approved his visa, interviewed him at the airport, and turned him loose to go wherever he wanted. And then when he overstayed that visa, making him an illegal immigrant, they picked him up. No, they didn't pick him up. They let him go. What was that about? It's real weird, that guy, because you know when he finally made a move to flee the country and they picked him up then? He has 365 days in a year. It just happened to be the day right there in that 24-hour period before the Butler rally. Should we ask some questions about this? Now the FBI wants us to believe it was all very random and Thomas Crooks just took advantage of the Secret Service. Man, it was just a crime of opportunity. No pre-plan. Who doesn't believe that? Former FBI agent Andrew Gilliam on Fox News this morning. Because see, there's another problem.
The other thing that stood out are these explosives, Todd. You don't just get detonation cord off the shelf. You pretty much have to have a license, like a federal firearms license, to go and get detonation cord. That's what the FBI is telling us that he had. And if he got that, how did he get it? And when did he get it? Because again, not a target of opportunity, a planned attack.
Mm-hmm. Gilliam particularly objected to this idea the FBI was floating yesterday, again, that it was just random. Crime of opportunity. Man, he's just out there on a Saturday, and boy, it looked unsecured. So he just, you know, decided on the fly he was going to do this. Gilliam doesn't buy that.
And also on the phones, he had two phones, which means that he was communicating. He wanted to keep certain things secret. Why aren't we knowing these things? And again, why is the verbiage that the FBI using making it look like he's just somebody who just picked a target of opportunity, just showed up there? None of the evidence that they're showing displays that possibility.
Weird. Corey Mills, he's a congressman. He's also a former sniper, military sniper. said almost the same thing.
We also had multi-channel detonators and explosive devices that were deemed to be sophisticated devices. What 20-year-old knows sophisticated multi-channel detonating devices? What 20-year-old has no social media presence that's been scrubbed? What 20-year-old has encrypted accounts, three from three different countries, without getting any help? There was help, in my opinion, that has been provided based on what I see, what I'm hearing, and also from confidential information that's coming forward. And that leads me to believe that this is far more than just criminal negligence, that there was more nefarious purposes to this event.
People who know are like, this isn't adding up. It's a month later, and now Congress is having to subpoena the FBI about what it knows. And I'm talking people with classified clearances who can see this stuff. There's something wrong here. I have a feeling we're going to find out what it is, but I think they're just trying to hold it back as best they can until the election, so it doesn't influence the election. So that it doesn't become, folks, who ultimately employs the FBI? Who do they answer to? Justice Department, Secret Service. You would not know this to watch the media. Joe and Kamala, or Kamala and Joe. Ultimately, that's who they answer to. Folks, if the parties were reversed and this happened to Kamala or Joe, somebody Trump was running against and Trump was the president, oh my gosh, it'd be nuts. It would be nuts. You know who they'd blame? Trump. The media would be out there saying Trump tried to kill, you know, whoever. Kamala, Biden, whoever. They would. You know it. I know it. They'd be pointing the finger at the person who's most responsible, and that is the chief executive. In this case, Harris Biden, or Biden-Harris, or whatever. But they're not, are they? This whole thing stinks. And it gets worse by the day. Meanwhile, another lie yesterday from the FBI. We just don't know what his political orientation was. We're just very confused. You know, maybe if you hadn't ignored his Gab account and pretended like you didn't know about it, maybe you would know about his political orientation. Maybe if you didn't have to be embarrassed into coming by and getting all of the information by the CEO of Gab, Andrew Torba, maybe you would know. Because I just went and read his writings again on Gab. After Torba embarrassed the FBI asking why they hadn't come by or contacted him, he'd preserved the account and everything that Crooks had written. Yeah, so the FBI did a press conference yesterday, probably because they're under threat of subpoena now. They are not turning over, well, basically anything Congress has asked for regarding the Butler shooting. They're also defying a Freedom of Information Act request for all emails, text messages, Outlook calendar entries, and any communication between them, the Secret Service, over the planning of the Butler rally. Wait, the FBI helped plan the Butler rally? Yeah. Well, as we know, the planning phase was not actually planning. It was unsecuring and insecuring and making sure that the usual people who could have secured it were nowhere near that place, and making sure the advance team, which normally goes in and would be the one that would secure the best vantage points for a assassin, that team, which surely would have secured the AGR glass building, weren't working that day. You know, the people who said, gosh darn, shoot, our drone doesn't work, gosh darn it. And when the local police went, hey, use ours. It's specifically designed to spot and, yes, neutralize an assassin. Nah, we don't want that. No, keep it. No, really, you can use it. No, you can't. Just shut up. Okay. Y'all don't want a drone? No, we just want to make sure the only person who has a drone is the assassin. I mean, hey, it's going to be great weather. Total FBI stonewall, to the point Congress is now going to subpoenas. Those people. So you can like totally trust them. You can tell they're under a little pressure because of the subpoenas and all. So they had a very fake press conference yesterday. If you've ever seen Andrew Gilliam on Fox News, he's a pretty milquetoast guy. He's a former FBI special agent, one of those that Fox keeps in the barn to comment. And Andrew Gilliam doesn't normally say things like he did this morning. It's kind of shocking, actually. He said he doesn't basically believe the spin the FBI is putting on this, mainly that, well, you know, Butler rally schmally. It was just, you know, a crime of opportunity. And you know, Thomas Crooks, who had no ideology of any kind, by the way. Yeah, no, he didn't have any. He got lucky and it was, you know, just opportune time for him. Yeah, no pre-planning. Just totally ignore those overseas bank accounts, the two phones and the encryption. Ignore the fact they were in three countries and that we haven't told you who he was communicating with. Yeah, ignore all of that. It was just a crime of opportunity by a person who did a lot of research on the internet. Mm-hmm. Andrew Gilliam, former FBI special agent, is not buying it. Listen to what he said.
He somehow picked the exact fatal funnel and avenue of approach that the Secret Service failed to secure. He didn't shoot from the trees. He didn't go into the crowd that was were behind the fence that was not secured and just shoot from there. He went up to this rooftop that the Secret Service failed to secure. So obviously he was able to gain this knowledge of the Secret Service failure, which always begs to the question of, did he have any other help involved from somebody in the government or somebody who was there that was telling him where law enforcement was or wasn't?
Well, that's weird. Let's hear that last part again.
Always begs to the question of, did he have any other help involved from somebody in the government or somebody who was there that was telling him where law enforcement was or wasn't?
Like the FBI? Who's refusing to turn over anything? Folks, this is not the FBI refusing to turn over information on Thomas Crooks and they're still investigating. No. What they're refusing to turn over is anything about the pre-planning of the event, which we can assume did not involve Thomas Crooks, right? Why wouldn't you turn that over? They're refusing. Weird, right? Especially when you consider they're the agency that approved the visa for the Iranian-backed assassin to come to America. You know, the one that was going to kill Trump. Where's that story in the media? They're blacking that one out, aren't they? You can read it all you want on Just the News by John Solomon. By the way, the only guy who got the Russia collusion hoax correct from the beginning when he was a reporter for The Hill. That would be the same agency who put out a big press release back in April. Oh, no, help us. There's an assassin who is coming from Iran to kill Trump and his inner circle. We are looking for him. Have you seen this guy? We don't know where he is. Turns out that was a massive lie back in April. They did know where he was because they brought him here. They approved his visa, interviewed him at the airport, and turned him loose to go wherever he wanted. And then when he overstayed that visa, making him an illegal immigrant, they picked him up. No, they didn't pick him up. They let him go. What was that about? It's real weird, that guy, because you know when he finally made a move to flee the country and they picked him up then? He has 365 days in a year. It just happened to be the day right there in that 24-hour period before the Butler rally. Should we ask some questions about this? Now the FBI wants us to believe it was all very random and Thomas Crooks just took advantage of the Secret Service, man. It was just a crime of opportunity. No pre-plan. Who doesn't believe that? Former FBI agent Andrew Gilliam on Fox News this morning. Because see, there's another problem.
The other thing that stood out are these explosives, Todd. You don't just get detonation cord off the shelf. You pretty much have to have a license, like a federal firearms license, to go and get detonation cord. That's what the FBI is telling us that he had. And if he got that, how did he get it? And when did he get it? Because again, not a target of opportunity, a planned attack.
Mm-hmm. Gilliam particularly objected to this idea the FBI was floating yesterday, again, that it was just random. Crime of opportunity. Man, he's just out there on a Saturday, and boy, it looked unsecured. So he just, you know, decided on the fly he was going to do this. Gilliam doesn't buy that.
And also on the phones, he had two phones, which means that he was communicating. He wanted to keep certain things secret. Why aren't we knowing these things? And again, why is the verbiage that the FBI using making it look like he's just somebody who just picked a target of opportunity, just showed up there? None of the evidence that they're showing displays that possibility.
Weird. Corey Mills, he's a congressman, he's also a former sniper, military sniper, said almost the same thing.
We also had multi-channel detonators and explosive devices that were deemed to be sophisticated devices. What 20-year-old knows sophisticated multi-channel detonating devices? What 20-year-old has no social media presence that's been scrubbed? What 20-year-old has encrypted accounts, three from three different countries, without getting any help? There was help, in my opinion, that has been provided based on what I see, what I'm hearing, and also from confidential information that's coming forward. And that leads me to believe that this is far more than just criminal negligence, that there was more nefarious purposes to this event.
People who know are like, this isn't adding up. It's a month later, and now Congress is having to subpoena the FBI about what it knows. And I'm talking people with classified clearances who can see this stuff. There's something wrong here. I have a feeling we're going to find out what it is, but I think they're just trying to hold it back as best they can till the election, so it doesn't influence the election. So that it doesn't become, folks, who ultimately employs the FBI? Who do they answer to? Justice Department, Secret Service. You would not know this to watch the media. Joe and Kamala, or Kamala and Joe. Ultimately, that's who they answer to. Folks, if the parties were reversed and this happened to Kamala or Joe, somebody Trump was running against and Trump was the president, oh my gosh, it'd be nuts. It would be nuts. You know who they'd blame? Trump. The media would be out there saying Trump tried to kill, you know, whoever. Kamala, Biden, whoever. They would. You know it. I know it. They'd be pointing the finger at the person who's most responsible, and that is the chief executive. In this case, Harris Biden, or Biden-Harris, or whatever. But they're not, are they? This whole thing stinks. And it gets worse by the day. Meanwhile, another lie yesterday from the FBI. We just don't know what his political orientation was. We're just very confused. You know, maybe if you hadn't ignored his Gab account and pretended like you didn't know about it, maybe you would know about his political orientation. Maybe if you didn't have to be embarrassed into coming by and getting all of the information by the CEO of Gab, Andrew Torba, maybe you would know. Because I just went and read his writings again on Gab. After Torba embarrassed the FBI asking why they hadn't come by or contacted him, he'd preserved the account and everything that Crooks had written. They finally sent somebody by. He was a liberal troll. Very, very liberal. Very pro-lockdown. Very pro-open borders. Defended Biden. Which is why he donated to the Democrat Party. In fact, the only thing they can come up with to tie him to the GOP was the fact that he registered as a Republican, but a good hardcore Democrat who donates the turnout fund to the Democrat Party would have done that, because Democrat leadership was all over podcasts encouraging Democrats to register Republicans so they could meddle in our primary. Notice how the FBI said, no known ideology here. It's just, you know, very contradictory, very confusing. Oh, cool. Give us examples. They didn't. Because he's a liberal. And this is a cover-up. The top 10 most viewed and shared stories for almost 3 days now. And it's a total lie. Launched by NPR. And look, folks, every federal agency is captured. Including, apparently, the Arlington National Cemetery staff. Remember the 13 who died at Abbeygate? You know those poor, can you imagine your child makes the ultimate sacrifice, right? Something that you would normally at least be, you know, at least proud of. You don't get a letter. You don't get a phone call. You don't get a meeting with the commander in chief. You get no explanation. And the vice president gaffs you off too. And then when you send your congressman, Daryl Issa, to call on Biden to just meet with these families. They need closure. They need answers. There's a lot of unanswered questions the military has refused to answer. No response. Thanks for your sacrifice. Yeah, screw you. It's embarrassing. And look, if you had considered joining the military, I wouldn't do it under a Democrat. I would not. Not after this. Your life means nothing. It's like I always say. And this is exactly how it was in the USSR. Even if you're a party loyalist and you embarrass the party by dying or becoming injured because of their policies, You will be canceled. You have become an embarrassment to the party. And that's what's happened to these 13. They just wanted their kids acknowledged. I get this at a fundamental level as a parent. You want the sacrifice acknowledged. And as the rage builds, they head into the third year anniversary of Abbeygate. They asked Trump to come and lay a wreath on the graves, all 13. They asked him. He didn't go to them. They'd already tried to go to Kamala and Joe and gotten the big gaff off. So they had the ceremony planned. Trump wanted to bring the cameras. The families wanted the cameras. They need so badly that acknowledgement that Biden and Kamala, being evil, have denied them. So they're all set to go to Arlington. Staff says you can't come. What? Nope. And President Trump can't come and there can't be any cameras. We have this policy. You got to get permission. So they got permission in writing. They followed the policy. Arlington staff, again, nope, can't come. You can only come at this very inconvenient time. Sorry, otherwise you're not allowed. Can you imagine if you had made that sacrifice? Well, they were very upset. This went all the way up to Mike Johnson, our speaker. Mike Johnson had to personally call the Arlington staff to stop the harassment. Why? It's coming from the White House. They don't want Trump and the families there because it's embarrassing to them for people to know their disdain for our, you know, armed service members. Especially people who have died in a way that embarrasses them. And Joe Biden killed them. He did. Remember the details. They had watched the suicide bomber for 3 days. The sniper begged for permission to kill him, and it was denied. That's why they're dead. It was not an accident. Well, when Trump came, the staff tried to physically block them from filming because this would embarrass Joe and Kamala. Can't embarrass the party. Wait till you hear what happened next. This is blown up into a major hoax. It's been trending day after day after day. We're going to take it apart because this is really, really bad. Coming up next. The top 10 most viewed and shared stories for almost 3 days now. And it's a total lie. Launched by NPR. And look, folks, every federal agency is captured, including, apparently, the Arlington National Cemetery staff. Remember the 13 who died at Abbeygate? You know those poor, can you imagine your child makes the ultimate sacrifice, right? Something that you would normally at least be, you know, at least proud of. You don't get a letter. You don't get a phone call. You don't get a meeting with the commander in chief. You get no explanation. And the vice president gaffs you off too. And then when you send your congressman, Daryl Issa, to call on Biden to just meet with these families. They need closure. They need answers. There's a lot of unanswered questions the military has refused to answer. No response. Thanks for your sacrifice. Yeah, screw you. It's embarrassing. And look, if you had considered joining the military, I wouldn't do it under a Democrat. I would not. Not after this. Your life means nothing. It's like I always say. And this is exactly how it was in the USSR. Even if you're a party loyalist and you embarrass the party by dying or becoming injured because of their policies, you will be canceled. You have become an embarrassment to the party. And that's what's happened to these 13. They just wanted their kids acknowledged. I get this at a fundamental level as a parent. You want the sacrifice acknowledged. And as the rage builds, they head into the third year anniversary of Abbeygate. They asked Trump to come and lay a wreath on the graves, all 13. They asked him. He didn't go to them. They'd already tried to go to Kamala and Joe and gotten the big gaff off. So they had the ceremony planned. Trump wanted to bring the cameras. The families wanted the cameras. They need so badly that acknowledgement that Biden and Kamala, being evil, have denied them. So they're all set to go to Arlington. Staff says you can't come. What? Nope. And President Trump can't come and there can't be any cameras. We have this policy. You got to get permission. So they got permission in writing. They followed the policy. Arlington staff, again, nope, can't come. You can only come at this very inconvenient time. Sorry, otherwise you're not allowed. Can you imagine if you had made that sacrifice? Well, They were very upset. This went all the way up to Mike Johnson, our speaker. Mike Johnson had to personally call the Arlington staff to stop the harassment. Why? It's coming from the White House. They don't want Trump and the families there because it's embarrassing to them for people to know their disdain for our, you know, armed service members, especially people who have died in a way that embarrasses them. And Joe Biden killed them. He did. Remember the details. They had watched the suicide bomber for 3 days. The sniper begged for permission to kill him, and it was denied. That's why they're dead. It was not an accident. Well, when Trump came, the staff tried to physically block them from filming because this would embarrass Joe and Kamala. Can't embarrass the party. Wait till you hear what happened next. This is blown up into a major hoax. It's been trending day after day after day. We're going to take it apart because this is really, really bad. Coming up next.